Hey, welcome to Youth Ministry in New Zealand. This is a podcast we hope will equip, inspire, and uplift all those who want to see young people thrive.
Oh, hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Youth Ministry in New Zealand, even.
Youth Ministry in New Zealand.
Sing a song about it, Jasmine.
Youth Ministry in New Zealand.
We're having this great conversation the other day about wanting to, like, record ourselves singing or playing our own intro music on normal instruments. And then we remembered that we don't have that much musical skill.
Oh, you do. Oof. You do.
Don't know about that.
Don't you play at church, like, every week?
Does that mean you have skill or that there's no one else?
More skill than I do. Okay. Hey, our young people love to come to your church.
Oh, we have great worship
Yeah, you're literally stealing our young people because of your worship.
Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus.
Are you implying we don't have Jesus at the Presbyterian church?
Oh, he's there and you're preaching. No, we jest. We love one another's church.
Yes,
and
we do.
It's actually really awesome that we get to work across denominations and build relationships with young people across denominations and enhance one another's churches. Mm-hmm. We did recently have an amazing worship night, eh, where we had Presbyterians, Brethren, Anglicans, non-denominationals, all sorts of people just coming and just praising God.
Amen.
It was so good.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we get to share with you an amazing interview we did with a youth work legend.
Yes, Marita. She is great and so funny.
Isn't she basically your hero?
Oh, I mean, everyone that we interview is my hero, yeah. But she is, yeah, definitely youth ministry legend within the Presbyterian circles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, humble Kiwi. She would not call herself that, but we all know she is.
There's this great moment, isn't there, where we kind of praise her for doing something.
Yeah.
And she has a profound realization, and we'll leave you to listen to that in the interview. It's quite a cool moment for us as youth work ministry podcast hosts.
Yeah, it was a good little circle pat. We all just pat each other on the back.
But I honestly love sitting down with people like Marita, because just the wisdom that comes from people who've been in youth ministry for this long is just amazing, eh?
Yeah. I mean, like, I hope I have that much wisdom when I, like, have been doing it for as long as she has, but, you know, like, she just is so faithful and has been, like, doing it as a volunteer for so long. That's the crazy thing within the church she's at. It's normal to be a volunteer. And she says, I think, until you get married, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so, oh man, she's great. I really like it. And I think this interview just has so much wisdom in it. And it, like, fits really well into the last couple we've been doing as well, of, like, you know, it's not necessarily about the program on the Friday night. It's about more beyond that. And I love that we're getting to explore what that means.
Me too. Shall we cut the interview?
Let's go.
Welcome to Youth Ministry in New Zealand. We are still here in our beautiful batch in Ohope, looking over the beach, out of the islands, and we're here with Marita. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Kia ora, everyone.
So good to have you here. Why don't you tell our listeners who you are?
Yeah, cool. Like you said, my name is Marita Matenga, and I'm born and raised in Hamilton. My parents are Cook Islanders, so I'm a Cook Islander, and I've been doing youth work. I kind of stumbled into it, well, forced into it by my father, to raised in a Pacific Island church in Hamilton. So the Pacific Island way is that, you know, as long as you're single, you'll either run Sunday school or you'll run the youth group.
Mm.
And then if you get married, then you can decide what else you want to do. So I've literally started my youth work journey through Sunday school teaching, and I only got married 3 years ago, so youth work has been most of my life, really. Up until, well, I'm still doing youth work,
Is that with your husband? He's the young person that you're working with?
No.
Similar skills? No.
So his name is Tāpaki, and he's from Mount Eden PIC in Auckland. So our worlds have merged, and Hamilton is the place where we're living.
Mm.
He's seen the light. No. Left the hustle and bustle of Auckland City. And he likes it. Doesn't love it yet. I'm still working on that. So I come from a huge family. Mm. We were brought up with God in our family, in our lives. God has always been an ever presence. My parents were lovers of God, so it was really left up to us to decide if we were going to follow that path. Mm. And Mum and Dad gave us the tools to be able to develop a really good, great relationship with God. So I'm really grateful for my parents.
That's a real precious gift, though.
Mm, it is. And I know a lot of young people don't have that privilege, you know, where they've got, you know, good sound teachings in the home, and a lot of young people are kind of really struggling with trying to just live life. So, yeah, I do find it a privilege to work in this space, and in particular with our Presbyterian Youth Ministry.
Yeah.
I have only missed two connects.
Oh, wow.
And that was the first one, and one, I was quite ill, so I couldn't come. So I really love what God has done and put that first mission or first seed in Mo's heart. And, you know, she just, you know, drove it, and other people come along. Colton, I think, was next, and now Matt and Gordon. Mm. You know, like, God has just been really investing in our youth leaders and our youth work and in our church. And it's a privilege. Oh, it's a blessing to be able to be a part of that goodness. I'm forever grateful for you know, coming and first time at our marae, which is, you know, logistically, I came along and walked with Gordon and Matt as they were planning for Connect, and thinking this venue is amazing, but thinking of a couple of hundred people trying to navigate the way, and if it rains, you know, all of these kind of dynamics.
Yeah.
But just being here and seeing the goodness that's been created is just the blessing. How God is just bringing us together and making it happen.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a bit more about your current context, what youth ministry looks like in Hamilton, in your current context, and what some of the struggles you're seeing young people in Hamilton wrestle with.
So I'm employed by the Hamilton City Council as a senior community advisor. So I lead a team of 8 community advisors, and we all have very different portfolios that our team is working on a strategy around that. And so my particular portfolio, as well as managing the team, is Pacifica.
Mm-hmm.
So my main thing for the city is to develop a Pan-Pacifica hub. So I just thought, I'd just say that. In regards to youth ministry, my husband and I lead our church youth group at the church where I grew up, Westside. And we actually mentor 6 young people who actually run the program.
Okay.
So we're in a really cool position where, literally my husband and I, we do the food for the youth group.
Yeah.
And our young leaders who we mentor, they run the program.
Boom.
They have the close relationships with the young people, and we are just basking in their goodness. And then we go to the parish council meetings and rave about how awesome our youth group is. And, you know, the leaders are the ones that are doing all of the developing and discipling with our young people.
Mm. So what do you do to develop and mentor them to get to that space?
So we meet regularly with our youth leaders. A lot of the time we listen a lot to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of probably tried to be one of my strategies that I've used over the years, that you know, I kind of learnt that when you kind of take charge and you do everything, it becomes yours and no one else. Like, oh yeah, I'll do this because Ma says do this. But actually just listening and allowing them to kind of drive everything is really helpful, but then kind of steer them. Okay, that's not working. So we meet regularly. They do most of the planning. I say how much money do you need, and I'll go to parish council and say this is what we need.
Mm.
So I kind of been doing lots of advocacy over the last 2 years.
Mm.
But we've kind of taken 2 years to mentor these young leaders.
Mm.
So
mm.
the youngest one now is 19.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, she'll be 18 at the end of this month. And then the oldest is 20. So
mm.
we've got a, you know, a good group of, well, they're in university too, so they're
mm.
full-time studying. We don't have a paid youth worker
mm.
as such in our youth group. Everybody's volunteered. Some of the issues that we're finding, because a lot of the young people, probably 50% of our youth group are church kids, so
mm.
they're growing up in the church,
yep.
and then we've got a nice group of young people that just come to youth group,
mm-hmm.
And they're not churched. And so some of the issues that present
yeah.
and that challenge us as leaders is that all our leaders are actually churched youth
mm-hmm.
leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So being exposed to some of the issues and challenges that our 50% of our youth group members will come is quite challenging for them, because
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't have had the same experiences.
Yeah.
And one of the issues we find is that a lot of the young people are so disconnected to their whānau
mm.
or their community, or they're just still trying to work out who they are. And so I'm really big on ensuring young people know who they are.
Yeah.
And so I just took a workshop on who am I here at Connect, and helping people discover through their name and who they are, just getting people to write up their name and then saying their names out loud if they've got little names, and you know,
mm.
some people have tent names or nicknames, and getting people to think about what the story is, and if they know why their parents called them that, that's their story
mm.
that adds to who they are. And we did that activity this morning in the workshop, and then looking at who God is, and there's like, I don't know, in my workshop, in my kind of little research I did, I found 36 verses in the Bible that God says about I am.
Mm.
And so making the connection with knowing that here's this amazing God that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am compassionate. I am. And, you know, every verse in the Bible that talks about when God says, I am, when Jesus says, I am, there's this confidence that just flows.
Mm.
There's this love that just flows. There's this is who I am. And when young people can see their name and they understand this is how they came to be, they take on it builds their confidence, because they can say, no matter what happens in their life, they can say, I am Marita,
mm.
Mm.
and have the confidence, just like how God says, I am the way,
mm.
I am love. You know, like there is just, I am compassionate. I've found that one
mm-hmm.
this morning. You know, like there's just so many I ams that God says,
mm.
and the way that He says it is that you can be so confident and trust
mm.
and know that this is the God that loves me,
mm.
loves you.
What do you think it is that's kind of breaking down that identity in young people? Like, why is it such
mm.
a struggle and an issue for young people to
mm.
know who they are in New Zealand at this time?
Mm. I think there's just too many options.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know, like I, probably over the last 10 years, it's really worried me that young people get this whole breadth of options that they can do, be a part of, participate
mm.
in, do it. And then next thing you just have a generation of paralysed youth, because
mm.
it's just too much.
Right.
And young people choose to just opt out.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that's why I think, you know, we're dealing with a whole lot of young people that are so attracted and zoned into this virtual world, because they can control it, whether it's be on a controller or on a keyboard, and the words they can have, the, you know,
mm.
it just goes on a screen, it
mm.
feels like it's not part of me, it's out in this kind of virtual world, and I just, like compared to my youth, there was time to work out stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's so instant. Mm. And it's so like, you know, if so-and-so broke up when I was little, you know, this, you know, like if I think about some issues, like one of my mates broke up with her boyfriend, I wouldn't know about it till the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'd meet at school and then it would be like the talk at school and that would brew for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Now, instantly, someone could be breaking up. The whole world knows that they broke up. So-and-so's now with this one, you know, like it's just this constant etcher. That's what I kind of think, which our young people, I don't know if a lot of them have the skills to deal with.
Yeah,
that constant trying to manage.
I totally think they have access to way more information and connectivity than often they're prepared for.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you can answer the question of where... So obviously, scripture, God, is one source of identity for young people and one that we're quite passionate about.
Yes.
And if young people don't have God in their life, where do you think they get identity from then?
Yeah. So, again, in my youth work, when I think about the young people that I've worked with that are unchurched or haven't had any connection with God, they have... good connections with their family,
mm-hmm.
whatever their family looks like. They have good connections with school,
mm-hmm.
they have good connections with community groups, or they're involved with some sort of volunteering.
Mm.
I think when young people are disconnected from anything where it builds on their sense of you know, sense of being, and it actually encourages them to. So where am I going with this? Like, I'm just thinking of one young boy back in the day, the breakfast club that I used to run. He's an adult now with a fat and bald wife and three kids, but he's still in my life, and he talks to me about his Weet-Bix in the morning, and about how that was the one thing. Sorry. I was just had a memory of him coming in for the first time, and his whole family just so driven in poverty. And I remember thinking, he was one of nine, he was number seven. And I was thinking, wow, here's this family, poverty, and you know, he came every morning, Monday to Friday, having Weet-Bix, and now I have the privilege of this young man being in my life, and it's just amazing. He knows God now too, which is just wow. Never thought that two Weet-Bix could do that. And at the time, as a really young youth worker, I just wanted to get in and help and be somewhere in the community. And a breakfast club, you just think. Then I didn't know that God was doing something, you know. And it wasn't until probably a couple of years ago when this young man, and he said, and every time he says to me, he goes, two Weet-Bix, eh, Ma? That's what he says. And I just kind of feel like a sense of, like, the first time he said it, like, two Weet-Bix. And he said, I'll never forget. But he talks about, because he's an unchurched guy too, but he talks about how those Weet-Bix for him showed that somebody loved him and somebody cared, and it was something that was regular. And so I think young people need that. They need something that they can count on, that someone is you know, going to be there for them, someone that is going to meet a need, because young people all have a need somewhere along the line.
At least one
And I mean, the really cool thing with us is that we don't know what God's going to do with that, what I call back then two Weet-Bix. But the power behind how those two Weet-Bix has grown this young man into an awesome man of God, really. And his family. And he's got three kids, and we get together regularly for dinner, which is so lovely. And I don't know why I'm thinking about him, but when I think about unchurched young people, I think about they need connection. Everybody needs some sort of love, definitely. And it seems so easy when you just say they need love, but it's so hard for young people to get love.
And I think, like, let's face reality, some of the young people who need the most love are the ones that are really hard to love.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
like, kia ora.
That's right. Yeah, and because they've built mechanisms to keep people away because they haven't seen or felt or experienced love. And so, you know, it sounds, lots of people, lots of young people need love.
And I think what you said about the kind of continuity, the regularity is really important. I remember reading a study that said, like, one of the single greatest contributing factors to growing resilience in young people was continuity in relationships.
Yes. Yeah,
and I think so often, you know, kids go in and out of systems, in and out of churches and groups, but actually someone who can sit with them and walk with them through their great days and through their more challenging days, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm. That's amazing as well that you still have a relationship with that young person. Like, that's like a real testament.
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes it's really easy to ditch them once they get out of high school in our, you know, age group.
Yeah,
that's so cool that you've got
that really
continued.
Cool. That's really cool. And God has just done some amazing things, which, you know, I just praise God for that opportunity. Because really, my two little wheat bix that I did actually has God just blew that out of the water. Like, he turned that into porridge with eggs and bacon, you know. Like, I just had no idea. And I know we all have stories like that as youth workers, and maybe we don't tell them enough so that people can feel encouraged about those stories.
And that is such a point of the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, as we recognise that there's such a wealth of knowledge, of stories, of experience, of wisdom in youth ministry in New Zealand, and we just don't hear it often.
Yeah.
And when we all gather together, we all get a bit whakamara and we don't want to share it. You know, like, oh, it's nothing really.
Mm.
But man, we need to hear these stories from each other.
Yeah, there's... Yeah, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I need to do that. I need to do that. You're so right that sometimes when you go to conferences and things and you get this flash speaker coming from another country and everyone's like, wow, yeah, he's so cool. But actually sitting in the audience, there's probably 100 of the experts that we're underutilizing and that actually we could be learning from each other. So, kia ora for this podcast.
Awesome.
It's good. Normally we get the speakers on here and to share their wisdom and challenge the listeners, but it's good to know that you've challenged yourself on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, well, because you don't really tell your own stories. Well, I don't really, but and all reminded of them because I wasn't thinking of that story 2 weeks before. But yeah, that reminds me of the goodness that we hold within us, and it's actually giving back to God and honouring God through our stories. And that's why I'm like, oh, I'm encouraged, because that's right, it's not about me, it's about God.
Yeah.
And so that's what has encouraged me. Thank you.
Awesome. We'd love to hear if you've got any other kind of real like examples like that of times where you've helped young people find hope. Is there any other kind of like programs you've run or like opportunities you've had?
Well, actually, just recently my husband has started, we had a request from one of our friends in our church, and 2 years ago she lost her husband. She's a very young widow, and so she's got teenage children. And she asked my husband, you know, could they do a regular Bible study together. She just really wanted to have some sound teaching in the home. And so my husband and I have, well, actually he's been leading weekly Bible study, and together my husband and I, we also we volunteer for a trust that's called the Serve Trust. And so what we do on this trust is that we provide a nightly meal 365 days of the year. So every Wednesday night, my husband and I, we coordinate the meal on Wednesday night along with our friend. And she said, look, we're together on Wednesday nights, should we just do it after the serve? And we're like, yeah, that sounds really cool. Anyway, God is just like, my goodness, we could, I could never expect, well, you never expect what God can do, really. You know, you just so limit him so much sometimes. But he has just turned up every Wednesday and blessing our evening together, and the growth has just been amazing with these young people. So there's four of them, because of course all these young people they bring along their friends. So it's like about 8 or 9 of us now, and then there's another family that's interested. Anyway, that growth of the group is all good. That's beside the point. What I wanted to say was that they want to get baptised.
Yes.
So we did the study on, you know, fully immersion baptism, and then the whole question around, well, do Presbyterians do that? Traditionally, Pacific Island churches don't really do that. So my husband and I just started praying into this. He, you know, did a study on baptism, and then I was doing the whole Presbyterian thing, trying to figure out, you know, how who does this and where can we get this done and can we do it. So our parish went to the parish council. They were like, yeah, go ahead. It was so easy. It was just like done in 2 minutes. But we knew that God was just like, yes, we need to get this, make this happen. So here we are. And I think next month we're having a service. We're borrowing a big tub, copper tub, from another Presbyterian church in Hamilton that regularly does baptism. And we're going to have the service next month. So we're just like, what the heck? Like, people, like, yeah, for me, it just, yeah, it's just blowing my mind. Watching my husband, in fact, in his element is just amazing. Through his teaching, but just these three young people coming to a place where they feel confident that, yes, I want to be baptised and I need to do it now. So it was only a couple of weeks ago that they said, yeah, we want to do it now, along with their mum and two of their friends. So it's just like, it's amazing. It's amazing. I don't know if that answers your question.
Actually, no, that's such a good news story.
Yeah, so it's just like, and again, it's like, man, it's God, eh? When you make yourself available, and He never gives us anything we can't handle. That I really believe that. I really believe that, you know, when you read your Bible and all the stories in there, you know, He always used the broken people. People couldn't speak. Yeah. People couldn't, you know, preach. People didn't read. You know, like, God just used people that just made themselves available.
Which is convenient, because I've discovered in my many, many years of experience that all people are broken people.
Yes.
Yeah. It would be hard if he was waiting for the perfect person.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Too right. So, yeah. Yeah, God is good. He's so good. He's so good. Yeah.
Cool. So, as we kind of wrap up, the question that I want to ask you is kind of our final question. It's like, how have you stayed here so long? Like, how have you, like, stayed in youth ministry? What has kept you going all these years?
There's probably not a Sunday that I... because I also play piano in my church. And, you know, in our Presbyterian church, I love our Presbyterian church, but we've got some rules, man. We've got some things that can sometimes cripple us. Yeah. And things that, you know, just can't let me stretch my wings sometimes. But I say to God, am I supposed to be here? Like, you know, show me that I'm supposed to be here. And so until God says it's time to move, I'm here to serve Him. And and as it's been in youth ministry. I'm probably, you know, one of those vocational youth workers that just want to serve God, and God is saying, stay in youth ministry. I've always had a love for people. I've always had a love for God, obviously, but just, I have asked, like, I've had times like, oh, I'm over this, like, why am I coming, like, why, you know, why God, like, you know, I argue with Him all the time.
You must be, like, the only youth worker who does that, eh?
And because, of course, we all know that youth work, you know, lots of research says that youth workers only stay around for, you know, a year to, you know, two, three years, and then they're off. I mean, I don't know, I haven't had this very often, but probably in my 11th year, I was getting people saying to me, have you got a real job yet? Like, are you working, you know, like, are you still working with young people? Like, that was quite a regular feature in my conversation. But yeah, so now when I say that, you know, it's a pity that people still feel like youth workers are like a stepping stone, like it's not a real job. But I don't really see youth work as a job. Like, for me, it has been literally like a lifestyle of serving God, and it's happened to be with young people.
Yeah.
Young people do keep you young, I reckon. Mm. You know, like, I'm getting like nearly close to half 100, and it's like, wow, it's a few years.
Mm.
But being around young people, they give you life, and children do that too.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if I'm looking at my future, you know, the older I get and I look at the older people that are in my church, you know, some of them are really sweet. Some of them are, I don't know what they're doing, you know, and some of them aren't contributing. Some of them are sitting on the pews. I kind of think, I've got a different future, I believe.
Mm.
I don't really want to be just sitting on the pews. You know, I want to be in doing God's will and where he wants me to be.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as God has me, you know, I'll serve. I'll try and be as obedient as I can.
Awesome.
Well, look, thank you so much for sharing your stories and your wisdom today, Marita. Mm. And I really want to honour that, the faithful posture that you're bringing to this conversation and obviously living out in your ministry.
Mm. Yeah.
That's an incredible gift to the people you're ministering with. Mm-hmm. And I know it's going to be a gift to everyone who's listening to this episode.
Cool.
So...
awesome. Thank
much
you.
Respect and thanks
thank
very much
you.
For coming today.
Bless you guys.
Okay, Tim, you know I love to start with a quote with my highlight for things, so I've got one for you.
Okay, quote of the day.
There was time to think about stuff, now everything's instant.
It's a good quote, eh?
Such a good quote.
It's something we've bumped up against a few times talking to people about engaging with young people and the difficulty of like the instantaneous virtual generation, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I remember that because even when I was in high school, not a long time ago, when cell phones were only
so
just
long
a
ago.
Thing, so long ago,
yeah.
10 years,
yeah.
you know, like we would still, like it wouldn't be that normal in year 9 to be texting someone to like break up, all that sort of stuff, you know, like social media, there was only Bebo.
Mostly we're just comparing snake high scores, eh?
Yeah. So like, you know. You had to actually talk to the person in person or ring them. Like, quite often you'd get your friend to ring to break up with them. Like,
that's
that
true.
Would be...
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was going to say. Like, instead of text message, you just used your friends, eh?
Yeah.
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 But it changes things, eh?
It does change. And it, like, yeah, I don't know. It feels like it, like, I don't know if it's better or worse. Like, it's just different.
Yeah, I think in some ways it makes real life harder. If you have a virtual life that you can control everything about, you know, it's easy to deal with friends you don't like because you just block them, unfriend them, start a new Facebook account, become a new person.
Yeah.
Real life is just not that simple.
Yeah, except that, like, it's not that simple anyway because then if someone blocks you and they don't tell you, like, this is, like, a conversation I had with one of my young people this week of her being like, this girl blocked me. I don't know why. And I was like, why don't you ask her? And it's like, but she's blocked me. It's like, you see her like every week. Like, just ask her.
Whereas in our generation, you unfriend someone because you never see them. And then it turns out they become a major benefactor of your podcast.
Shout out to Nah.
Then you have to re-friend them awkwardly.
That's Tim's life. Yeah.
My life is quite awkward. Yeah.
Yes. Now, the other thing that I loved that was like, by far the gold for me was just when she was talking about two Weet-Bix, you know, like the power that two Weet-Bix could have on, you know, a young person's life.
You say that and all that comes to mind is the old school TV ads where like Sir Enmid Hillary and his Sherpa were like climbing Mount Everest but they were played by kids and like, how many Weet-Bix are you going to eat this morning? Like, oh, I need 6 today to conquer the summit. Different kind of power, I'm assuming you're going for?
Different kind of power. I love how she talked about, like, how we have two Weet-Bix and God makes it bacon and eggs. Like, how incredible is that? That, you know, God can make out of such a small gesture that we give something so much better. You know, like, he makes a full-cooked breakfast without...
Yeah.
faith.
I think it's that constant thing. I like always go back to 2 Corinthians where Paul talks about God's power being made perfect in our weakness.
Mm.
And I think that's such a beautiful picture for ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, from my own experience, every time I think I have it sorted and I can do it myself, it goes so badly wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And the moments where I'm aware of my weakness and my brokenness and how little I have are the moments I most depend on God.
Yeah.
And they're the moments of massive ministry breakthrough.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And I just love that it's like, this whole episode felt like just a beacon of hope, I think, for our young people.
Mm.
Like, we've got a lot of episodes that are really challenging, but this one just felt like such a good, like, uplift of, like, yes, like, youth workers can do this.
Yeah, it was like a pep talk to young youth workers. Exactly, they're like, bro, you can do this for 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You can survive.
Yeah, you only need 2 Weet-Bix, and you can, like, create long-lasting relationships with young people. Mm. Yeah, man, totally.
Isn't that the goal, though? I like her story of, like, you know, the young guy that she used to feed the Weet-Bix to, like, coming back up to her 20 years later and still having that relationship and being able to connect.
Yeah.
Like, is that not the goal of youth work?
Oh, I know. When she was telling that story, I was like, I am literally so inspired right now. Yeah. Like, how can I make this happen? Like, do we need to start a breakfast club? Is what I thought. And then I was like, no, you know, you've got to get your own context of what that looks like.
What is the Weet-Bix that you have already? And it might not actually be Weet-Bix.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Might be spaghetti.
I know for me, like, I had this amazing moment last year where one of my young people from a previous youth group, like 6 years ago, contacted me and was like, hey, I'm getting married. I'd really love you to be the minister and to, like, lead us on that journey to marriage, you know?
Cool.
And it's, like, such a blessing that I get to provide that service for them, but that actually our relationship is still one where they would ask that, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's, like, they're like, I youth worked. Tick box, eh?
Finally. Yeah. Now you're done.
But I do think, like, the flip side of the challenge side is, for people on the ground, man, sometimes it's hard to know if you're having any impact in young people's lives because it is all about the long term. It's about, the, like, building relationships, connecting with people and their whānau and the wider community, and that stuff doesn't show up overnight. You know, like, you get to the end of a week of youth work and sometimes it's real hard to know if you've achieved anything or made any difference.
Yeah, it's definitely long term, and it's definitely, I don't know how people do youth work as non-Christians, honestly, because, all the joy that I get from this job comes from God.
Yeah, all the hope is from God.
Yeah, and not from the young people themselves.
Yeah.
But that's the joy of God, right? Like, we trust that what we put down, he's going to create into something so much better.
Mm.
And it's so true, because we've seen it over and over. We've seen it in both our lives, that, like, if someone had looked at us when we were both 16, 17...
Just Google it. Just Google the pictures. It's awful.
You would not have assumed that that was, like, a tick box moment. But now I feel like our youth workers can be very proud of where we've ended up, if I don't say so myself.
Did I ever tell you the story of, like, when I got into youth work, like, writing to all my old youth pastors and apologising to them? Because I realised how hard and discouraging it must have been for them. And so, you know, the need to, like, share the story and let them know that it had an impact and how much they had changed my life.
Yeah.
And I wrote to one of them, who's my youth pastor when I was, like, 15, 16, and he was living in the States at this time when I wrote to him, and said, you know, like, thanks, because he was one of the ones who had the biggest impact on my life. Like, he's probably one of the only reasons I, you know, stayed as a Christian at that stage. And I wrote to him and said thanks, and, you know, like, this is what I'm doing with my life now, and, you know, you're a huge part of that. And he was like, that's really cool to hear. Because that was the hardest year of my life. And I came away from that placement and left seminary and stopped doing youth work.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, people need that encouragement and we need to pass that on, eh?
And he should have held on to the hope that God could transform
even Tim.
I always think about Saul Paul in the Bible. And I'm like, look, if someone can turn someone like him into the, like, most impactful Christian of the Bible, then, like, he can transform any of these young people. Totally, like, they're pieces of cake.
Yeah. I mean, you see what Jesus worked with, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He did it.
He did. And that is hope for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's, you know, like, it's another reason why we have this podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is to share these stories, because we realise that actually a lot of youth workers work in isolation. They don't hear the stories of hope. In the day-to-day struggle, it's hard to lift your eyes off the problems,
yeah,
and to fix your eyes on the hope that is possible,
mm,
and to look at their long term. And we talk about it with Marieta in the interview, you know, like just how important it is and how powerful it can be that when we do share our stories,
mm,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I love the idea that she's like, I'm going to stay here until God tells me otherwise.
Yeah, boom.
And, like, the thing with that I was thinking about it, I was like, it's real easy to, like, think God wants you to leave a place.
Yeah.
It's real easy to, like, create moments where you're like, oh, yeah, I think God wants me to leave because it's really hard. Yeah. But I know personally, like, sometimes actually, like, you just got to lean in.
Totally. And let's face it, you know, like, the call to follow Jesus is a hard call,
mm,
and a costly call.
Yeah.
And the call to be a minister, to be a youth worker, it's sacrificial.
Mm.
It's going to be hard. And we've got to, you know, when we hit those hard times, we've got to remember this doesn't mean Jesus isn't here.
Yeah.
It means he's working with us in the hardness, eh?
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah. So true. Yeah, and not that he's causing the hardness, but mm, he's going to work through that, yeah, hardness.
Solid.
Yes.
Yeah. I still love the song from Link Church out of Hamilton, Peace, where it, like, kind of rephrases John 16:33, which was like a mantra to me when I took on this role, mm, in the Rangitiki, okay, where he goes, Jesus, he never said it would be easy. He said suffering would come,
mm,
but he promised peace, peace, peace.
Oh, love that.
Yeah.
That's so,
yeah,
good.
And I think it's such, like, one of those lines that we can just hold on to. It's going to be hard. We're going to have trouble, but Jesus has overcome the world and he gives us his peace.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is our encouragement to you as youth workers, mm, that there is no way it's not going to be hard, because if it's too easy, then clearly you need to push yourself some more.
Yeah.
If you're coasting and you feel like you haven't had any struggle, are you actually working with young people?
we sometimes joke in one of my previous youth work kind of collectives, if you're not encountering spiritual opposition, are you really doing Jesus' work? But more to the point, Jesus has overcome, and we can share in that victory with, yeah, him, and we can see him transform the lives of our young people.
Yeah.
Every single one of them can encounter Jesus, can be transformed by him, mm-hmm, and can have life and life in all its fullness.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes and amen.
Isn't that a song too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shall we just finish the podcast and go listen to the song now?
Yes.
Deal. Hey, thanks so much for listening today, guys. We just love sharing these interviews with you. We love sharing these stories of youth workers who are just trying to faithfully follow Jesus in their context and seeing the transformation that brings in young people's lives. We really hope you've been inspired. And do hit us up on Facebook, Instagram.
Website.
Cell phones.
Email.
Come visit us in Martin.
Come visit us. Let's have more visitors.
Yeah. I will pay half your petrol costs if you come to Martin.
Oh. They're like overseas.
My jet fuel ticket was. Yeah. But no, bless you guys. Thanks so much for listening.
See ya.